Dimmed. We're only, what is it, 7 minutes behind between you and drinks. So that means I've actually only got 53 minutes now, so you can actually go out there and actually start doing something. So this session is about creating SharePoint customizations for the future and for the cloud. Now, I just want to set your expectations around this. This talk is about doing SharePoint 2013 development and Office 365 development. If you're doing 2010 or even worse, 2007 development still, this talk is not for you. So if you want to leave, you can leave now, okay? But this talk is primarily around 2013 and Office 365. Having said that, there is some things here I'm going to cover which will hopefully make you start thinking about how, if I'm going to go to 2013 Office 365, how should I actually be doing my customizations and what are the types of things I should be considering and thinking about? So anyway, my name's Wayne Ewington. I'm Principal Consultant at Microsoft New Zealand. I've got a bit of a montage. I'm not going to cover that. We can talk about that over a drink, but each one of those pictures represents a little bit about myself and a bit of background about myself. My email address is up there, so if you have any other questions, etc., we can go through that and I can always follow up with you, etc., around that. So, what is the goal of this particular session? What we're going to do is that we're going to provide guidance on developing SharePoint customizations using recommended patterns and practices such that you can future-proof what you're doing today. Okay, if you kind of take a step back, where is the product going? Okay, whether we like it or not, it's heading into the cloud. So that means, as us being SharePoint developers, what type of things should we be considering about as part of doing our development to make it too easy to get to the cloud, or how should we do those developments in the actual cloud that we've got there? Okay. So with that, the first thing I'd like to do is make an announcement. So what we've been doing behind the scenes here is actually been trying to look at or looking at our SharePoint app model that we've got, and we're trying to address some of the concerns and issues with that. So within the community that we've got here, we've been trying to do something good for you to bring back out to you, to actually provide to you to make it easier to do SharePoint development. So announcing, although a little bit late, this was actually released a couple of months ago. What we now have is the Office 365 developer patterns and practices. Did anybody of you know that this existed? Okay, I've got a few hands. Okay, so where this came about from, this was actually a Skunkworks project within Microsoft where we looked at where we're doing SharePoint app development, what were some of the issues. And a group of us sat down and went, right, why isn't this picking up? People are saying that SharePoint app development is actually quite hard to do. Why? Okay. So we started going through and started building up some examples and tried to do some little, you know, bits and pieces, etc., around that. And we kicked off this project, what was originally called the GAPS project. So that was a group of us within Microsoft working around the world, basically trying to come up with these gaps around how you do SharePoint apps development. We then released it into CodePlex. What we then did after that is that we actually managed to get it into the patterns and practices. So now we've actually released this. This is out there on GitHub. GitHub. So you can actually go through and actually download this and start using this. And this is what this talk is going to be about. It's about how do we actually use these patterns and practices, etc. So what I'd just like to do, just really briefly, is there's a couple of key people that were working on this, okay? So just to try and give you a bit of a feel, these were people within Microsoft who gave up their own spare time in order to actually provide these patterns and practices to you, okay, which we're trying to get out and trying to drive the community with, etc. So what's our agenda today? What I'm going to do is give you an overview of what the pattern and practices actually is, look at how the structure of this has actually been set up, and then we're going to go in and actually have a look at some of the samples and, you know, demos around how you can actually use this. Now, the key thing about this is that, you know, these are basically samples, okay? So what it is, it's a community effort. So like I said, it's been driven out by a lot of people. And as part of doing that, what has also happened is that we've actually managed to drive some changes back into the SharePoint product and into Office 365. Did anybody notice a big change to the CSOM in the July CU? Okay, there were some new methods put into CSOM in order to support the work that came out of this. So what we're doing is that as part of stuff that's actually happened here, as part of the patterns and practices, we are getting changes back into the product to make it easier for you guys to do some stuff. The other thing is that it is a pattern in practice. If you have a look at some of this code, some of it's not robust, okay? Some of it's not elegant, some of it's not pretty. The key thing is that it is a pattern. You can take some of these approaches and ideas and design patterns and use them in your own implementations. And that's the whole idea of what we're trying to do with this, give you ideas about how you can actually do these types of customizations. Having said that, these have actually been reviewed by the engineering team within Microsoft. So these are the guys that actually look after SharePoint. Okay, they build, they look after it. All of these patterns and practices have been reviewed and endorsed by the product team and the engineering team to say, yes, we actually agree with the way that you're doing this. What that actually means is that we've actually internally, we've got a different branch of this, and some of the stuff that we've looked at doing, the engineering team has said, don't really like the way you're doing that. We don't want you to release that out there, okay? Like doing most SharePoint development, there's a couple of things what we say is just because you can doesn't mean you should. So there's a few things where we've, you know, come up with some approaches and they said, no, don't do that. That's not a good way. You could break something that's actually out there. But the good thing is that any one of these, all of these patterns and practices that we've got here, you can pick up and know that this is actually a recommended way to do it and that the engineering team have essentially rubber stamped this and said, this is the way you should actually do it and go with it, okay? This is a good message. So the first thing that we do is that when you go out there, you basically download this package folder. It's essentially just code. That's all it is, okay? So within this code, you get this file system. And what we've got in there is that we've got all the assemblies in there for you. So we've got all the 15 and the 16 assemblies. And you're kind of thinking, well, what do I need 16? SharePoint Online, Office 365 has been running version 16 for quite a while now, over a year, okay? So what we've got is that we've got those different assemblies in there. So we've got 15 and 16. Now, there isn't full parity between the 15 and 16 assemblies, okay? There's some stuff that we're doing in SharePoint Online and Office 365 that doesn't make sense to put down to an on-premises side of things and vice versa. So that's why we've got two different flavors here. But the good thing about it is that these have already been preloaded down for you. We've got them here. We've got all our references are back in here. So what this means is that all you need to do is open up one of these examples, hit F5 in visualstudio.net, and these things will run, okay? You don't have to install anything else. What we've then got is that we've got all these different samples. So we've got currently, as of the last download, which was late or earlier this week, we had 57 different samples that you've got there. Now, these are just different things that you can do, okay? Such as doing branding, provisioning something out. So you can pick up these type of capabilities and actually use them and put them into your own deployments. Pretty cool, pretty straightforward, and a lot of fun that we've got there. The other thing we've got is these components. Now, these are a bit more like reusable blocks of code that we kind of use in some of the other projects that we've got there. So they're a little bit more detailed behind it. And these kind of fit into what we call the scenarios. So the scenario is exactly that. We've got a scenario about something which would be quite common that we've identified that most people like to try and do. Okay, so we've got 20 of these, and these are just basically stuff that we can go out there and do. Same with the solution. So this is doing more of a robust type thing where we've got four complex reusable solutions trying to bring all these different concepts together that we've got there. So the last thing we've got is we've got this Office Dev Patterns and Practices.core. Now what we've done is that as part of doing this bit of work that we've been doing, we've actually identified there's quite a bit of code that we were having to rewrite over and over again. And we kind of thought, well, that's actually a bit grungy, right? So like, remember the guy on the keynote speaker a couple of days ago? He said, whenever he has to write code, he goes out and searches for stuff. We're actually trying to make this easier for you. We've actually provided some of that grunge code into here and actually made it extensions into the context class for you. So what we've basically done is put extension methods in there to make it easier to do some of that common stuff that you guys need to be doing development with. This should hopefully shorten your development times. It will also mean that the stuff that we've put in here has also been endorsed by the product team. So you're pretty good to go from that perspective. So some examples around that of the use of extensions. Things like creating content, create content type, okay? You'd have to write quite a bit of code to do it. We've now got an extension method which would actually go through there. You pass the parameters in there. works for you, treat. Same as all the other ones we've got on there. Field exists by name, create field. Content type exists by name, add content type. There's a whole stack of them that we've actually written and put the code in there for you. So the structure for each sample, we go in, we open this up in visualstudio.net, and what we'll see is that we've got some documentation associated with this. So what we've done is that we've gone through and explained what exactly is the scenario you're trying to do, how does it work, what are the things you need to actually do around it. Basically trying to give you some input into taking this idea, this approach, and putting it into your own implementations. If we've got any reference to other projects, they'll already be referenced in. And then we'll have an app project created using Visual Studio 2013, and then most likely a Provoto-hosted app associated with that. Okay? Quick, easy, hit F5, the scenario will run straight away for you. Okay? The other thing I should point out, these scenarios don't have to work against Office 365. These will work against your most of them will work against your on-premises deployments as well. So once again, we've got these concepts. You can take these approaches, these design patterns, and you can use these with your on-premises deployments now, today, for 2013, knowing that they will actually work and that they're actually a good way to get yourself into Office 365 in the future if that's where you want to go. So, how do we go about building customer deployments with Office 365 developer patterns and practices, right? So you want to see some examples, you want to see some code, right? Because that's what you're here for, because I'm assuming most of you here are developers, right? Okay, apart from this gentleman over here who I know is more of an IT pro. So, before doing that, we have got some general design practices associated with this. Now, some of these are going to be a little bit contentious. Some of these go against what I've been actually preaching and, you know, telling a lot of customers for a lot of time up to date. And some of these may actually shock you about some of the directions and the changes that we're advocating here. Okay, so take a deep breath, okay? I'm going to show you some stuff, okay? And I'll avoid the tomatoes being thrown at me, okay? With the first one being, don't use site definitions and don't use site web templates. Now, site definitions we all get, right? Because that's file system stuff, that's low level, okay, and we can't actually get that into Office 365. But web templates? Come on, this was the best thing we brought out in 2010, right? This was the way we should actually be provisioning our sites. This is something that actually works in Office 365. Why are you now telling me that we shouldn't be using web templates? Well, what we've done is that we've actually identified that there is a risk which could become an issue if you start using this. And I'm going to go a bit more detail behind this, okay? Very, very shortly. But just, you know, kind of hold that. Hopefully that wasn't a tomato coming, okay? The next one is, don't use sandbox solutions. Once again, this shouldn't be a little bit of a surprise. When we brought out 2013, our message was sandbox solutions have been deprecated. We then kind of softened that a bit and said, well, sandbox solutions in code have been deprecated, so don't do that. You can still do declarative sandbox solutions. Okay, that was okay. We've actually kind of changing that again and making it a little bit more harder again. What we're saying, again, going back to the original stances, don't use sandbox solutions. Now, you're kind of probably thinking, what? This is, you know, confusing, and I agree, this is confusing. This is part of the reason for doing this talk, okay? What we're finding is that as part of the SharePoint app type approach, you're having to write a lot of code, okay? Or you're having to do code. And because you're writing the code, what this basically means is that we're kind of moving a bit away from the solutions and the feature framework that we've already got, which is basically for an on-premises full trust type approach. So if you want to do changes and upgrades, et cetera, to that, using the feature framework can be a little bit messy and a little bit ugly in some situations. So we're kind of coming out a little bit stronger and now saying, just don't use sandbox solutions at all, okay? You can do just about, you know, 99 or 95% of the stuff now using SharePoint apps. Now note, I don't have up there full trust code, okay? Because none of you are doing full trust code, right? Right? Well, you shouldn't be, okay? So it's a given, no full trust code. The other one which is contentious is avoid custom master pages. Okay. Now, I kind of get this one, or don't get this one. Sometimes you want to change the layout, the look and feel of stuff, what you've actually got in your master page. Okay, and the only way to do that is to change the master page. Once again, this kind of relates to the web templates. There is a risk and an issue associated with this, which I'm going to basically illustrate to you very, very shortly. So just kind of park that one and just know as a general guidance, avoid creating custom master pages. The other one that usually comes up is people hate SharePoint apps, okay? Because they don't like the iframes, okay? Because iframes kind of constrain you. You can't make it bigger, you can't resize them, okay? They're a bit ugly and blah, 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 okay? People don't like them. The point here is that using an app part in an iframe isn't the only approach. There is alternative solutions. I'm actually going to show you some of those, or I'm going to show you some of those very, very shortly. So let's have a look and see what the actual issue here is with regards to web templates and master pages. And this relates primarily to an Office 365 type deployment. Okay? So what's happening in Office 365 is that we're doing an update cadence on a regular basis. Does anybody know how often we're actually updating Office 365? So 6 months? Who thinks 6 months? Who thinks more? Okay, so somebody thinks a bit more. Who thinks we're doing it a little, I mean, the period is shorter? Okay, we're basically updating Office 365 just about every week now. Okay, just about every week. It's around, 1 to 2 week period we're updating something in Office 365. Okay, so that's the regular update cadence that's actually happening there. So what's the issue? The issue is if we take something like a master page, right? You grab the Seattle.master, you take a copy of that from Office 365, and what you've done is that you've taken a dependency on that particular version. Okay? And that may be okay, right? I mean, because that's kind of the right thing to do. But what could happen is that as part of the next update cadence, that Seattle.master page changes, or some of the functionality behind it changes, right? So that may be okay from your custom master page, okay? So it may not work, okay? That may be okay, right? But then again in the future, something else may change with that, which could result in your page breaking, okay? This could happen. So this is not right, this is not wrong, this is just a risk of what can potentially happen as part of that update cadence that's happening there. So what this means is that if you do take a dependency on one of our files that is in, for example, in Office 365, you need to be aware that this can actually change behind the scenes on you and something could break your dependency that you've taken. So although with a couple of customers, what I've done with them, they have gone out and created, for example, custom master pages. So what I've recommended them to do is that on a regular basis, they compare what's in the Seattle.master, as an example, and check to see what the diffs are. And I know that's kind of sucky, okay, because that's putting a dependency back on you, the customers, to order to work that out. And I do agree that us as Microsoft, and in particular the Office 365 team, need to get better at telling you what's the stuff that we're actually breaking or changing in that, okay? But you need to be aware of this. This can change. So a good example of that was the flight of content control. How many people got caught out with this? Okay? Nobody? This was a nasty one, okay? This actually happened earlier this year. One of my customers was mucking around. They changed the fonts, et cetera, and the style sheets associated with the nav suite bar, which is at the very, very top. We had the flight of content control in there. So this was something that changed as part of the update cadence, and basically it broke their whole page, okay? It just wouldn't work. And they came back in the next day, and it worked again. And they're going, what the? Well, what actually happened was that the change happened, okay? And it got rolled out and reverted back and onto another farm, okay, and stuff like that. And hence that change kind of flipped and flopped between it. Okay, but this can happen. There is a risk that can happen as part of this. Now, you also notice something interesting about this. The flighted control is a server control. So not only are we changing the HTML, we may change the HTML, we may actually change the assemblies behind the scenes, how this thing actually executes, and hence change the behaviour. So what the flight of control actually does is something that we use internally to say, is this customer what we call in flight, and hence should we inject this new bit of this new functionality into this particular tenant or not? And that's how we use it internally. Okay. So what happened was that they said that it was in flight, the type of HTML that was generated changed, wrecked out their style sheets, etc., page broke on them. Okay, so just be aware of that. The other thing that can happen, and this comes to the web templates, same type of thing. Okay, you create a web template, you create your own ONET XML file, you add in your own features, etc. What may happen, and something that we've identified as part of, you know, what's happening in Office 365, is that we may actually add some additional features as part of feature stapling or something like that into it. So what this means is that your web template may work, okay? Then there may be some other additional functionality that gets added in, which could result in your web template not actually working as expected in the future. So just something to be aware about, okay? The maintenance update and the cadence that we're doing in Office 365 can potentially break something if you do take a dependency on one of our files that we've got there. Okay, so those are the design challenges. So how do we get around this? We said that we don't want to do custom master pages. How do we actually get and do branding without a custom master page? So what I'm going to do, hopefully, is flick over, get rid of my screen lock. Okay. Does anybody know where that is? Nobody? It's Yosemite Valley. Vertical kilometre. Used to be a rock climber, and that's paradise for me. Okay, so what I've got is I've got this. This is what happens when you have to reboot. Okay, so I'm just going to kick F5 and just get this up and going, and talk about it while it goes. Connect to SharePoint. And had all of these sorted out. When we had the technical issue, I said I didn't want to reboot, and this was one of the reasons why. Didn't want to have to go through and set all these up. Okay, so what we're doing here is that I've basically just downloaded the sample code that we've got, loaded up in Visual Studio, and just hit F5, and I've kicked it off. So what this is doing is it's going to go out, and it's going to do some custom branding of the master page once I sign in. Hopefully, I should have flushed all my cookies before. Hopefully I'm okay. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. And what we've got here, sorry, something else I should have done. Oops. I had all of this set up, so I do apologize. Okay. So what we've got here is that this is just the out-of-the-box sample code that we've got, right? Nothing special, nothing quite, you know, funky about it. So what this is going to do is it's going to set an alternative style sheet and a custom logo to the host site that I've actually got here. So pretty straightforward. Click on that run scenario. And if we have a look at the code while that's actually running and doing stuff behind the scenes, what I've got is I'm basically uploading some assets, putting it into one of the libraries there, and then I'm using the alternative CSS URL to put in there. Now, this is something that we drove back into the product to get this supported as part of CSOM, okay? This was only added in recently. Because one of the common scenarios was being able to set a alternative CSS so you could actually do your branding, also be able to set the site logo URL as well, okay? So this is part of the changes we're trying to get into the product to make it easier for you guys to do your customizations without having to do things like change the master page, etc. on there. So if I have a look back at my page, if I click on here, hopefully, this will work. Okay, now, probably doesn't look that obvious, but the change here is that I've now got the logo's been changed, and you also notice, in fact, one of the things here is not quite right, but basically it's changed the div, it's actually centralized everything on there. It's just an example. It's a design pattern that you've got where you can actually use your style sheets to go in there and do your manipulation around your look and feel, etc. of that. Okay? Pretty straightforward, pretty easy stuff to do. Okay. So, that's one approach. Now, the other thing that comes up quite often is that people talk about the app part, right? Okay? People don't always like it because you've got the iframe, you can't style it, you can't resize it. Now, the thing here is that you can actually do this slightly differently if you want to. And there are situations where this actually makes a lot of sense. So what we can do is a general design type pattern is that we can put a div tag into your actual page here. What we can then do as part of our SharePoint app is that we can go out, find that div tag, and actually change the HTML associated with that. Standard approach, easy to do, right? Okay, so what we can do here is flick over to another demo, and I'll kill this one out, flick back. Okay, get rid of that. And core app script part, I'm just going to hit straight F5, if I can see the light in here. Okay, do the old thing, this is going to ask me to connect again. I did actually go through, like I said, and connect all of these. Da, 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 da. Okay, sign in, do the deploy. Okay, so the way that this has worked, that's why this is actually running in the background, what we're doing is that we're uploading a web part into the gallery, okay? So within that web part, the key thing here is that we've got a script. Okay, so we've got some JavaScript, which is pointing back to our SharePoint app, okay? And we've got our div tag in here. If we then go in and have a look at our JavaScript, all we're basically doing is going hunting. We're basically going out, getting some user profile stuff out, going hunting for that particular tag, and then replacing it, dropping it in there. Very, very easy design pattern that we can do. So if we have a look back at the page, need to, as you can see, I've got a number of different accounts, Office 365 tenants I play around with. Go in here, run the scenario. That's just going to upload it, etc., get this all going. Go to the host web. Okay, so if I edit the page, probably needed to disable that last one to make it a little bit easier. Okay, if I then go into, should have already got rid of it. If I go to the web part, as part of what the code's doing, it's also changing the group associated with that web part. Put that in there, add it in, and that's going to go out now, go out to the user profile store and basically just, you know, run that bit of JavaScript, which is then going to go out and put the replace the div tag, etc., the HTML associated with that. Very, very easy, very, very simple to do, okay? So like I said, that some of the code isn't elegant, okay, but think about the design pattern that you can use as part of your own implementations, okay? So, clicking on. So that's one approach you can do. Okay. So let's have a look at some of the typical type of intranet customizations you would do, okay? So they can kind of be broken up into four different areas. Team of collaboration sites, OneDrive for business sites, intranet corporate portals, and we can also do Yammer integration as well. So if you kind of look at the team and collaboration sites, some of the typical types of customizations that you probably want to do here is have standardized site options, okay? Do some company branding, and probably do some content types and site columns and stuff like that. Now the way you'd probably do it traditionally would be to create a web template to do that, okay? That would be the common way of doing it. The other way of doing it would actually come up and say, right, we want to have some type of site provisioning type engine associated with this. Okay, so how many people here have actually had to deploy out a custom site provisioning engine? Okay, quite a number of you. So here's a design pattern that you can use. Once again, it's an approach, it's an idea, and it may not be appropriate, but you know, kind of use it as this is something you could potentially start with. So as an approach and a design pattern, what we could do is actually have a provider-hosted app which goes out and we can get a list of what are the actual templates that are available, which can then go out and generate and put that into a list. What we can then do is asynchronously go through and basically check to see what's in that list and see if we need to provision a site and then go out and actually provision that site. Now, the thing about this particular design pattern is that we're doing this asynchronously. So a number of the engines do that we've seen out there and with some of the things that we've tried internally have done this synchronously. And what we've found is that there can be a bit of a timeout period associated with this. So hence what we're saying is that it may be better to do this asynchronously and using a design pattern like this. So if we kind of have a look at that particular approach, what we can do is, switching back, get rid of that one. In fact, I'm going to really hate having that. I'm just going to kill something. Samples. I need to revert back out that other one. So I'm just going to run that first one again because I think it's going to break a few things. So because these are going to conflict with each other. So you get to see the first demo twice. Okay. Okay. Get that. Okay. Come on. Deploy succeeded. Okay. Done. How many people have been caught up with the cookies and had to basically kind of got a bit confused and it goes into the sign-in loop a number of times? Okay. If you get caught out on that, I've got a PowerShell script which will actually go through and delete your cookies to make it get around that particular issue for you. So you can come and see me later if you want to. Oh, and that's the other thing I hate. You've actually got a tab off. Otherwise it doesn't kick through. Okay. So I'm just going to remove that. So I'm doing that with the code and we should be good. Okay. So get rid of that one. Get rid of that one. Oh, go away. Get rid of that. Okay, so this is going to go through and do the provisioning. I really hated having to reboot. Come on. And voila. Okay. Okay, so we're nearly there. Okay, so a little bit hard to see, but what this basically does, it provides the ability to choose which site template we want. We can give it a name. Seem to have a little bit of a bug here. Should actually have sites. We can enter in what the name is. We can set up an email notification, give a description, etc. that we've got here. So if we can give it a name, ticket. Oops. Demo. Now this is actually going to create a site collection. Okay, yada, 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 yada. Okay, and create. So what this is doing is that it's actually creating an item in a list. Okay, and if we go back to the site here, into the host web, What we should have is, if I go into, it hasn't popped up yet. Where's it gone? Site requests. All it's done as a particular approach is basically put an entry into this list to say that this is the type of site that we want to provision. Okay, pretty straightforward stuff. What we can then do is we can kick off another console app, which is what all this is going to basically do, is that it's going to go out and access that particular list and then go through and actually provision that and do a wait, you know, and try that again. Now, the one thing I do need to do, though, is I just need to check to make sure that the client ID and the secret are actually the same. So what this basically means, if I grab the client ID from here, pop it into this one. So this is just another little trick you can do, which basically means that I've already got this app, and if I grab the same client ID and secret, I can basically act on behalf of that one and use that same, you know, connectivity, the OAuth connection, to get back to it, okay? So something that you can do, I'm not sure everyone's aware of that, okay, but it's pretty straightforward to do. So if I kick that off, this is going to basically go off and it's going to kick off the console app. That's going to go out, it's going to check the list, see if there's anything there that needs to be provisioned. So if we go out, if I refresh this page, something got wrong, probably typed and pasted something in wrong, but that should have gone through, update this particular list, okay? And what it then should do is go through and provision the list. I've obviously done something wrong, something's crept out there, so I'm not going to worry about it because I know that I'm between yourself and the drinks at 5:30 and I'm trying to catch up time. Okay, so let's kind of leave that one there and stop that one and we'll move back on. Okay, oops, did I go the right way? No. Okay, so OneDrive for business customizations, okay? So the type of things you probably want to do here is have something what we call a centrally located customizer. So something that would go out and do things like the company branding, etc. Now, one of the things that comes up quite often is, should I be into my OneDrive for business updating and modifying the site columns and the content types? Has anybody got any thoughts about that? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Okay. Some organizations want to do it, okay? They want to have it consistent within the OneDrive for business. What we've found is that this is generally not a good idea, okay? There's a couple of reasons behind this. One of them is that the OneDrive for business is, as we know, it's a site collection, and the person who owns that is the site owner of that site collection, so they can do anything they want to. So they can go through and change all the stuff. That's kind of like more of a governance type issue. What we're actually seeing is that it can break some things with regards to the OneDrive for business and the offline sync that you can do with that, okay? So as a general rule of thumb around that, what we're trying to say is that, you know, kind of amateur about doing it and avoid doing the customizations of the content types and the site columns within the OneDrive for business. So then what should be the design pattern around how do we actually create and maintain these OneDrive for business? So one particular approach we can do here is we can put a SharePoint app onto the portal homepage, okay? So when somebody logs in and goes to that particular page, that SharePoint app will go out and do something. And what that SharePoint app can go out and do is it can go out and check to see, does the user have a My Site, OneDrive for business, personal site, whatever you want to call them, provision it possibly, okay? It can also then go through and theme it or put any other types of things that we want in there, okay? And get it looking consistent look and feel, et cetera, around that. All behind the scenes, asynchronously, and the user doesn't actually see what that looks like, okay? So what we can do, if I flick back, go back to the side, is if I go for the OneDrive for business, kick this one off, I'm gonna have to go through, do all the signing in again. Okay, come on. go back in. Okay, nearly there. Okay. So the way that this has worked is it's already gone up, it's actually uploaded the assets, etc. for us. If I go back to the site, what I can simply do is that if I edit the page, what I can then do is drop an app part onto the page. Okay, OneDrive customizer. Add that onto the page. Now what this is doing, basically using the going out and using the JavaScript, etc. on there, is going out and running my provider hosted app out in the behind the scenes, and it's going out and it's basically doing the theming, etc. for me. So if I have a look at the code that I've got in here, get rid of those. What I've got is wrong one. Okay, what's happened? Ah. Okay. Oh, it's gone. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so what it's basically done is that it's gone out, it's run the code for me on here. If I then go over to another tab, in fact I should have shown you this before, clicked on here, wait for me to authenticate. What it's basically done is that it's changed the theme associated with that. It's probably a little bit hard to see, but it's put the image in, and it's also injected a company policy into there as well for me. Okay, pretty straightforward, easy to do. Standard design pattern on that, nice and easy. Okay, so if we continue on, oops, wrong way. No, right way. Okay. Get rid of that. Okay. So, corporate intranet capabilities. This is another interesting one you can do. So this is, can be the situation where what you want to do is that you've got a publishing site. So the standard type of customizations that you want to do here is put out your publishing assets. And you may also want to be able to limit the page layouts and the site templates using CSOM. Okay, so pretty standard way of doing stuff. So once again, we'll go back and I'll kick that off. Go over here. Now, I'm not actually going to run this one, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you something that's actually quite interesting in this particular code sample. What we've got is, as part of this particular one, where's it gone? Button. Okay. In fact, no, I won't run this, running out of time. So what we've got under here is that what we're basically doing is that we're updating, getting these templates, saying what it's actually available, adding in these page layouts, and then what we're doing is that we're setting the set default page layout for site. Now this is an extension method that's actually been created into this as part of what we've done behind the scenes. The interesting thing about this particular one is that if we go in and look at the source code for that, in fact, go to definition, F12, what we are doing behind the scenes here is that we're setting a property bag associated with this. So what we've actually got, and it's a little bit hard to see in the code, etc., but what we've got is that there's actually a property bag on the website which says what are the web templates that are the page layouts that are available for this particular site. So what we do is that we're basically building up this XML document, putting that into the property field for that, so we were then restricted as to what are the page layouts you can use. This particular approach has been endorsed by the engineering team. So there's a couple of things that we're doing here, okay, which kind of looks a little bit hacky, but they have actually been endorsed by the product team and said you're allowed to do this. So what this means is that if you come across any of these other types of properties that are out there, don't go away and assume that you can actually use them. It's best to actually raise it because, it, as we know with properties, you can have, you know, getters and setters and, you know, you can do some code behind it. What the engineering team did in this particular case is went through and looked at the code and went, no, we're not actually doing any other implementation. To do this is actually a safe and a valid way of doing it. Okay, so this is an endorsed way of controlling what are the page layouts that we've actually got there. Now, do you guys want to see this actually running, just to prove it? No? Todd? Yes? No? Okay. We've got 8 minutes. Okay. We won't worry about it running it. But if you want to, I can show you later. But basically, it just comes up, sets what's in there. The key thing here is that we have got some properties there, have been endorsed. This is a good way of doing it. So we're going around the right way. Cool. So Yammer integration, same type of things. The same type of things we want to do here is replace the out-of-the-box feed site, you know, with Rammer feeds. You could do some other customizations there. I'm not going to do any demos on this, okay? You're probably getting a little bit bored and you probably get the idea. Pretty straightforward. There's stacks and stacks and stacks of these in this patterns and practices which you can pick up and use and start actually going with. So what this really means is what's going to be our next steps associated with this, okay? So this is actually going back to you guys. Do you have a scenario in mind or you have some code, okay, that you'd like to share, okay? Because sharing's caring. So what we have is that we've got a Yammer group set up, which we'd love all of you to join. We can actually start contributing to this if you want to do this, okay? So the key thing here is that if you're interested in helping out, what you can do is grab the latest bit from GitHub, download this code, okay? You can, because it's Git, you can, you know, take different versions of it, you can branch it back in. What we have got is that we've got 5 key people within Microsoft who are actually controlling which changes get merged back into the master branch, okay? But this is out there for you guys to use, and we encourage you to use it. If you come across any issues, bugs, or feedback, please use the Yammer group that we've got there, okay? We're looking for that type of guidance. Also, if you've got any types of business cases or you're trying to do something that doesn't support the client access model or the SharePoint app approach, let us know, okay? Put that back into the Yammer group, or even, and sometimes this can actually be better, put it into the user voice as per that URL that's up there. Because what this basically means is that we can change the product in order to do these types of situations or type of customizations that you guys want to do to make it easier for it. Also, if you've got any general comments, we have got a Twitter feed associated with this, okay? Or if you just want to follow what's happening, what we've also got is that we have got the Twitter, as per before, and we've also got a Facebook page associated with this as well. So if you want to follow this and see what's actually happening, stay up with the latest, this is a good way of doing it. What I'm really asking for you to do, though, is to contribute, look at this, and start using this stuff, because we can actually change the way that the product is actually being worked and, you know, make sure that this is actually better for you. So, related content. You kind of looked at what were the developer tracks or developer sessions. Unfortunately, need a bit of a time warp to go back to these ones. Okay, so a couple of the ones I pulled out. You will find me at the Hub Happy Hour, which is straight after this, so I think I've caught up time. You have got the standard resources, okay, pretty standard stuff. Don't forget your evals, okay? And if you've got any questions about how to fill out your evals, I've got a suggestion up there for you. I've also got my email address if you do want to ping me or, you know, provide any other comments, that would be great. Apart from that, this is the end of day 2. We've now got drinks. Hope you enjoy your last day and hope you enjoy the rest of Tech Ed. Thank you very much. Unless this question.